Hello, I'm on the air. Today is November the 6th, 2012. And this is Kathy Cook. We're bridging wisdom tonight. Some of me as Bright Lights Pathfinders. I just got back from my mother's, reminiscing through all these old things. It was so fun. But, you know, memories are really good. History, timelines, those are always good to have. Because those are what make us, you know, that's what molds us. I asked my mother what elite meant because I remember her telling me that I was elite. She says, because you're not supposed to act like that. Because I do tend to act out a little bit. But that's just in public. But she said, that's where elite came from. I asked her what Illuminati and Zionist and all that stuff that I see on the internet meant. And she didn't know either, so we just dropped that. But hey, let me get back to timelines and history. It's very important to keep your history because that keeps your memories of who you are. And good, bad, and indifference, what molds us. And today, if we stay in the moment, which I always say with my, started with my family at the beach at the sunsets and sunrises, that if we stay in the moment where the sun rises and falls through the day when the sun rises and falls, God majestically finger paints his colors on the heavenly walls. And they say that when you get into the heaven bounds, that the music is so profound that it's nothing that anybody could ever comprehend here on earth. And I don't have time only because time is a distance that keeps us far away from existence. Time always is measured and comes real soon in the sunset or the sunrise of the new day for us. If we stay in the moment, we can comprehend what's going on, because time is not even written until we stand in it. My dad always said you can't make up your sleep and you can't make up time. There's where time goes. But it is time. Now, did everybody vote? We want to just say a little moment of blessings for the United States of America. Because I love this country so much. I love the world. I love the universe. I love everything. But I believe I don't see any war coming. I don't know why. I just don't. I see very good, calm, easy does it, you know. Because the thing is people love that power. And if everybody learns that it's all a control or concern thing. I've said this many times, you know. I always think of those old Chinese handcuffs. That was my first knowledge of understanding control and concern. But you pull and pull and pull with those Chinese handcuffs. They're really like woven out of a weed. But it looks like a palm tree kind of thing. And they're woven and you've got holes on each side and you stick your fingers in them. You pull and pull and you can't get your fingers out. That's the way it is with life. You've got to let it go and let it flow. And things get all tangled up. Oh, what a tangled web we weave if at first we are deceived. You can take a necklace with a chain and it gets all tangled up. If you just sit there and let it loose and just let it hang, it'll unfold every time. Or not in your shoe. You know, you pull and tug and it's going to get tighter. But if you just let it loose and just very gently pull it apart, it comes undone every time. No matter how much things are tangled up on anything, there's always a beginning and an end, and you can untangle it pretty easy if you just let it free. You know, I think of myself a lot of times like a butterfly. You know how a butterfly comes and just lands on you, and it'll be there for you, but if you try to capture it, it always flies away. It's really odd in the front yard. Went outside the other day, and I don't know how many of y'all remember when... It was September the 25th. I was at Lake Lure with my nephew and his new wife getting married, and it was so green. It was just so green. And they mixed the black and white sand, not for any good reason. You could mix red and purple if you want to, but they mixed the black and white sand for their marriage vows. But what I was going to say there is that maybe Woo-Woo was there, the godmother of my children. And I was telling her about a dream that I had about a going up to this big old raft, and this big, humongous eagle was pulling it. And I thought I flew up there myself in my white nightgown in my dream, because I thought the eagle was trapped. It was caught, and I wanted to let it loose, but this eagle was bigger than big, and it was gold trim. The wings were golden trim, and it had a harness around its foot because it was pulling this raft, but it only had it on the right front. And anyway, story goes with some other things, but leaving the raft when we got to this destination, there was these pirates on the side, and we just acknowledged each other. I said, I respect you, and they said they respected me. But when I stepped on these white chairs to get out, it was a little bit of, I didn't step on, this guy did. And I said, don't step on those chairs, it's going to make the seat money. And he says, well, you just, you know, that I don't know. But anyway, underneath the chair was a Newport pack of cigarettes. And Mady said, well, maybe you're going to a new port. And not too long ago, she was visiting her mom at the lighthouse, where the lighthouses are. And she found a pack of Newports with a joint in it, you know, doobie. I thought that was so funny. But the other day, I go outside and my butterfly bush is smashed. I've got two on each side of my driveway, and it was, somebody knocked it down, smashed it. And there was a pack of Zigzag rolling papers in the driveway, and beside it was a pack of Newports. I know the games keep going on here. I think they're kind of cute because I do feel safe. I'm not afraid of anything because I know that God keeps me safe. And, you know, fear, I know I was here to conquer fear. Courage is what it takes. But I do know that if I didn't have God in my life, I could be very, very afraid because so much crap is out there today. As long as I keep my vessel clean and keep straight and narrow, that very fine line, then I don't have anything to be afraid of. But it does say in the Bible, in Proverbs, I think it's Proverbs 3, it says, the first gain of knowledge is to fear the Lord. And that is because if I didn't have him in my life and know that all things work together for him and he will make my path straight, that I would not, I wouldn't be where I am today, you know. And I know that when I don't have my eyes focused exactly right, for him to speak for me, do for me, act for me, be for me, in all ways, shapes, and forms, and remove my ego, which is my will, my free will, get that out of the way, let it go, you know, die inside, and let Jesus Christ be inside of me, which is the Holy Spirit. But let's just say that I ask every day for God to remove all people, places, and things that are not good for me and of his will for my path, my calling, and to bring into places and things that are, because I dedicate myself right here in this chair most of 98% of my life in the past 7-8 years, and it's not that I don't have a life or to go anywhere, because this is my life. My life is to teach and listen and learn and help others, and I will sometimes put on my mother voice, and I'm a strict daggum teacher when it comes to teaching. You know, I don't pussyfoot around. I'll get it out there, get it done. You know, my voice gets stern and hard, just like one of those old boarding school teachers back in the day with the ruler. I will put it out there because, you know, a lot of times in school, I speak out my words to learn because I'm an audio. And when my son was going to Door Academy, very learning disabled, ADHD and stuff, we went and got this thing called CHAD. It was a CHAD organization that we started and started getting to where people could have tape recorders in the classrooms and take private, you know, tests instead of being in the actual schoolroom. But I'm so articulately precise with things that it takes one little fraction of a word and or if, you know, to change the whole perspective of a question or understanding. All my classes were taken in a private room, all my tests. And that's how come I speak out loud. For me to have either from a story I'm writing or for whatever, for lessons. Not, you know, if I'm talking directly to someone, if someone calls me on the phone or, you know, Skype or whatever, or in a conference, if they address me with my name, you know, then I can answer the person or we can have a conversation. But have you ever felt like, remember when you were little, and the doctor would talk to the mother, or the teacher would talk to the mother or father, and you as the kid were standing right there, but they acted like you weren't? Yeah, how'd you feel back then with that? It make you feel inferior. It doesn't really make me feel inferior. It makes me feel like I feel sorry for people that do that today. Because if they won't something discussed, say my name and address me. Otherwise, I'm going to turn on this radio or TV or whatever, and I'm going to just like somebody watching a ball game screaming and hollering, you know? It is what it is. It's the box. But you know what? Hey, it is what it is, and at least I got that out there. I'm going to open the lines tonight. Anybody want to call in? I don't have the phone number right in front of me, but if you're listening, you're on the front page of PBS Radio, probably. And the phone number's right there under Station 1. When I was at my mom's today, I found some of my books that are like the fruit of the spirit. We've been talking about that for a while. You know them by their fruit? Fruit of the Spirit is by Leroy Brownlow. And my mom gave it to me 2002. I like to walk through this sometimes with you guys. So I haven't read it in a long time myself. But I want to say, what is real? What is real? You know, I didn't, when I first started on a computer, it was all Windows 98, and my son had downloaded Yahoo. And I was like, first impression, first thought, which is, you know, with all your schoolwork or anything, your first instinctual thought of that is correct. Like, if you're taking a test, that first thought of the answer is 98% correct. Well, the first thing I saw was that big old Yahoo thing. And I'm like, that's not going to be good. That's bad. And he says, it's just where you chat. But look at today. Look at today. How people play their games with the steel. Even though somebody named C something or another. I don't remember. I liked her a lot, though. She's a good lady. I forget her name. Anyway, we went by these Yahoo chat names, which mine was Bright Lights Pathfinders. I think her name was Sea Witch. I don't remember. Anyway, she taught me something. She taught me a lot. Everybody taught us a lot back then in those rooms. But she said that, you know, she used these black feather, crow feathers. Somebody used to bother upstairs, but she taught me to, you know, just let them be. You know, even though they're bothering you with noise and stuff, just let them be. And she also taught me that, I remember when the first church of being a Wiccan was going to be opened, and she told me about that. And it's just really ironic how the world has come today. You know, I have always loved every denomination of any type of religion or anything because I respect it. But people forget the first religion was paganism on this earth with Ra. You know, Ra. When you think of Ra, it always kicks me back to my college days when the hall monitor was called an Ra. And then my brother went to RAs while I went to GAs in Baptist Church. Something like a sun god and all seeing eye or something like that at the pyramids during something. But what I want to say is I got to see my cousin Kimberly the other day. She lives in Germany. And she brought me back 3 stones. I don't think stones have any magic or anything in them. I don't use them for that. It's whatever we put into them. But she got me a cornerstone from the pyramid in Egypt. She said she snuck up there and got it. She said it was hard. I said, you know, Kimberly, I said, God says that our houses will be built the strongest with the cornerstone that was cast out. And Joseph had this beautiful multicolored coat that his brothers threw him down in the lion's den. And then the Egyptians came along and he got sold to the Egyptians by his brothers because his brothers were jealous. Joseph could dream. He was a dreamer and he would tell them. He would tell Pharaoh, which was the king, and you know, all the king's names were Pharaoh, but he would tell them, he said, it's going to come 7 years of famish, and I'm going to store up the wheat, because everybody's going to come from all over to buy the wheat. And that's where the, when he did that at the end, and I've told the story many times, and that's where the goblet comes with his brother, and you know, I think they call that the, I don't know, but that goblet has something to do with something. Some kind of Da Vinci code. That's what it was. And Da Vinci, Leonardo da Vinci painted all that stuff all over the ceiling, right? Well, how did that get the name, the Da Vinci code, when Leonardo da Vinci? That's where I'm confused right there, because that damn goblet was long, you know, time ago. But anyway, once all that happened and the lotus came and ate the wheat and everything, Pharaoh let him go, and he had come back with his family. which he forgave them and everything. And they went out and made a new nation, and that's how Israel was made. That's where Israel comes from. It's from the para, the LCNI, the Ra, the god and goddesses, taken and given to Joseph, and Joseph and his family went out and made a new nation, Israel. So and then after that, you have your Jewish, right? The Jewish religion, which everybody knows that. We've got a beautiful temple, Bethel, here in Charlotte, but we've got a Bethel church right down the street. We told the story last week of my little nephew and his father dying on him, and the big angels came, and his father's buried at Forest Lawn down there. But that's Bethel, the temple Bethel. I was going to the heart doctor yesterday, and that thing had a sign saying, "We are going to stop the Armageddon." But anyway, you got your paganism. Then you've got your Jewish, and Jesus was a Jew. He is one of the, you know, to me, Jesus would not leave his path. He sacrificed himself. He died for us, the blood, the red tear. That's just to me. You know, we've got Buddha, Gandhi, all those, which are great, but did they die for the cause? That's just how I see it. And, you know, a lot of people don't, that Christianity came from the Christian crusaders trying to, you know, take the, back in the Camelot days and stuff. And anyway, y'all can put the history line together from that. So the spiritual war we're having right now, let me just say, whatever Zionists are, I don't know. But, you know, Palestine and all that stuff, that was some chosen people, and that's part of Israel, I believe. But we'll just won't get into that history lesson. I just want to put that there because that's a history timeline. That's a timeline. And then we got the moment right now here today. But, you know, God, to me, has every hair on our head and every little sparrow. It knows everything before, during, and after what's going to happen. And if you look at your life, people, if you look at your life and you look back and look at the connections today, how God has, you know, certain things like that. When I first got on the internet, I didn't know what, you know, I had all these pictures and things I wanted to do. I didn't know anything about the internet. I finally went to LiveJournal too, and I didn't know where to put anything. And so I started putting my pictures down, and it's called Matrix Explained. And I wrote on page 14 here on the Velveteen Rabbit. I've got to read this to you guys. Read to you before, but my son Matthew, that just had his first baby, he could barely even talk. I don't even know how he did. He's about 7 or 8 years old. And he wrote this one page to this little girl on a Brother word processor. And it's, what is real? What is real? You know how I always say, get real? Are you real? And the isolation of serenity, which isolation is being by yourself and within yourself, because that's where we go to have our secret conversations with God or whatever and meditate. You know, that's isolation. And you surrender to it. That's serenity. You're comfortable. You don't have to look at all this outside junk going on all over the world. But the isolation of serenity is not fake. It's accepted by many people, but however few. If you look around and you see, and if you listen and hear, all are fake but few. Ask yourself, are you? I wrote that on a neck and it shuckers. With Bush Hog and Debbie and several of the, I call them the redneck friends. They were a blessing in my life. They wrote it on a napkin there. But here we go with the Velveteen Rabbit, what is real? And the Velveteen Rabbit asked the skin horse. I think of myself as a horse, but people try to ride me, I'll buck them off. Anyway, he asked the skin horse, because the skin horse was always truthful. He says, what is real? And he said, did it hurt? And the skin horse answered, when you are real, you don't mind being hurt. And then he asked, does it happen all at once? Like being wound up? You know how people think of, you know, the tension? They'll get all wound up. You know, Godism. People that study Godism and follow Godism, they think that God just wound us all up, set us down on earth, and let us unspin. You know, but that's not one. There's 7 worldviews. We'll get into that later. Put a mark right there for that. But he said, does it happen all at once, like being wound up? Yes. Or is it bit by bit? And the skin horse answered, "It doesn't happen all at once. You become. It takes a long time. And that's why it doesn't often happen to many people who break easily. Like with their feelings and what their panties and why their feelings get hurt. Or their ego, you know, like maybe if I'm teaching or answering on this internet when I'm listening to broadcast or whatever. And people think I'm punishing and fussing them like I know all of them. That's because they hurt, they break easily, maybe. You have to be calm. Okay? It takes a long time. And by gosh, it does. I'm 57 years old. And that's what's going on here with me. It doesn't happen to people who break easy or have sharp edges. Why it, relate this to people? Because this is stuffed animals talking. Sharp edges. Like a sword. You know, like when I was doing the full armor God not too long ago, and I was naming it, and I said that the sword of truth, you know, I'm all about truth. And I corrected myself, but somebody had already gone out there and made a web page or whatever, and poof, I'm out of here, whatever. But you think about it, the sword of truth is the spirit of God, and the spirit of God is the word, and the word is the Bible. And if you follow it and look at the end of Revelations, the lion shall lay down with the lamb. That's the end of times. And the lion, the lamb was sacrificed for God because that's what represents him. And that's the light post, the lamb. People call it sheeple. But the Lord's my shepherd. I don't have to walk. I'm not trying to put the religion down your throat, but y'all want to know where and how I learned this stuff. So I'm putting it out there how I did. And the lion shall lay down with the lamb at the end of times because the lion is very, like a lion's den. A lion is very protective and stuff of their little family, and they respect each other's domains, and you know, but they'll eat that daggum lamb. The lion will eat the daggum lamb, right? Oh, look at this. What's the platform for the Apple computer? The lion. What was it before? The leopard, right? It's not leper, because that's where Jesus healed the ones with leprosy. It's leopard. Okay, there's two differences there. And then the book says, does it happen to people who break easy or have sharp edges? Or do we have to be carefully kept? It does not. It takes a long time. That's why those people don't ever get to be real. Very carefully kept, which if you saw my house, I call this my nest. Oh gosh. Anyway, generally, by the time you are real, most of your hair, which mine is starting to fall off. Your eyes, I can't hardly see. It's so cool. But start dropping off, you know, because you got to think of it like a stuffed animal. And your eyes pop out, and you get loose joints. My daggum knee is killing me. And you get all shabby. But these things don't matter at all. Because once you are real, you can't be ugly. Except to people who don't understand. Isn't that the darn truth? Trying to figure me out all the time. Okay, I suppose you were real, said the rabbit. And then he wished he had not said it because he thought the skin horse might be sensitive. But the skin horse only smiled. Now, I wrote all over this page on Velveteen Rabbit. I wrote all over it. And let me give credit to who wrote this book. Okay. That is Alfred A. Knopf. Alfred A. Knopf. New York, 1984. This book, children's books, I read so many to my children. Like Jason loved Inside, Outside, Upside Down, going inside the box. Inside, outside, upside down. All the children's books have something that can relate to us because an adult wrote it. And if an adult wrote it, it's something that they were learning to help a child. So in the Matrix Explained, when I lost the passcode, like always, because I always lose passcodes. Not always, but just about. I wrote down the little numbers where all my old pictures were. One of the first parts in the Matrix Explained, I put this man with a brain. He looked like, He looked like Alfred Hitchcock. You could see the brain inside. Now you think of today's time with the mind control thing. But I called that book, that man, Going Within. When I lived with Ronnie Fraga, Runaway Bay, Music Man, Froggy, whatever. Before he went over to California, he's the one that gave me Puppy Puppy Curly Whirly Sock Fetcher. First name I had was Going Within. That's where that came from. And so I used that man's picture with Going Within. And then the next one was Awakening. And no, it wasn't Awakening. It was Awareness. Because we're going to awake, but we've got to be aware that we're awake. But I always put one of those little things that Cosmic Observer and everybody's starting to use nowadays. And the little swirly thing, it's up there right above the tab. Right beside the number one, I put A and then swirl, awaken, and then aware. Anyway, that's what Matrix explains. I never really got, I watched one Matrix movie and a little bit of another one. I don't do much TV, but the old movies really adhere to me just for interesting, the way you pull it back now, Back to the Future, you know. I just want to say that people, everybody has been hurt in their lifetime or wounded, you know, but unless we look at why, like I've always said, if it's something bothers me, it's something in me, it's not of me, it's in me, and that means something, person, place, or thing, or situation happening came into me. Jumped in, whatever you want to call it. And I have to look at that because it relates to something in my life that was of a part of my storyboard of history, or either it was the way somebody behaves or something that just doesn't fit right. But being of yourself is different. There's two different things there. So something in me is different, and I have to weed that out. Because of me is God Almighty, and it feels good. I love to feel the feeling of the Holy Spirit. It's very different than this little aura thing that goes around my head. I don't know what that thing is. It's brand new. But, you know, maybe I'm connecting to somebody or something that then you feel it. I kept saying Angel Halo as I talked to Pete, my friend Peter. And I used to sit at his house, and he used to play this game on with these controls. Xbox or something, and I could always see three or four steps ahead, just like playing chess, what that was going to happen. And I asked him the other night, I said, what's the name of that game? He said, called it Halo. It's funny, isn't it? Because the Halo is actually many different meanings, you know. I don't know where I'm going. I'm getting brain stopped right here. Some kind of energy is stopping me from talking and thinking. So we got one of those little situations. We're just going to wait it out till that energy backs off. Mama Cook, my mother-in-law, Marty's mother, she had a lot of wise wisdom inside of her. Mama had a dream. My mother Hill, my mother, had a dream one day that Mama Cook was standing behind at a picnic where they're buried at this church on us. Sharon Road, and she was eating all the deviled eggs behind a tree. And so she's sitting up there on my little altar where I made storyboard. And all I could think of was the deviled eggs were being eaten as fast as she could. And then my grandson was born, so she ate all the little. So anyway, that's just my little story, the way I look at that. But deviled eggs. Now, the zero is the cosmic egg, right? That's neither beginning nor ending. It's just a zero. And you got your number 8, which is, you know, a loop. And if you think of, I don't know anything about writing codes, but I was putting it up there for Jack on TNT News Trader, because I know he likes to do write codes and stuff for the internet. And the zero was always the first number before any of the numbers for something with something to do with writing internet stuff. But at the very end, it loops. I remember that dream that I had a while back. Where I don't ever question when I was told to get up, but now I know the difference when I'm told to get up. That's somebody, that's a control game. And I went to the computer and I downloaded, I don't even remember, but Michael was supposed to be online that night, and he had gone to help Ashley get groceries for me because my legs hurt when I walk. And Ashley and I were having a little spat because I was giving Jack a little intuitive about the dream that I had, and she kept interrupting me because little kids want to push and push and push to give them answers. Well, Michael got upset 3 minutes before the show for him to be on air. 5 minutes or so, he just didn't come. He just was mad because I was upset with Ashley. But Mady came on. Woo-woo! You know, Mady, the godmother of my children. And I told her about this dream and how we talked about the squid. I told her I saw a great big squid in the water, even though I didn't. But it was Google Earth or something like that. And I don't know. I just went all over it and found this little pinpoint. I don't know what it was, but it was a little boat. And I was telling her about that. But then when I was trying to tell her the dream, because I tape recorded the dream. So that's why. And at the end of it, I was going, loop, loop, loop. So there you have some kind of code that you write in the internet. And at the very end of the code, it says loop. But I don't want to put that together because that was pretty cool. Now, for me, one day Don asked me, Don that owns BBS with his brother Doug. He said, what is your favorite symbol? And I said, a straight line. And he says, mine's a circle. And I listen to little things people say like that because we come full circle in life, you know. Think just like with our past, and Elena lives across the street from me, and Elena happened to be the angel that I saw when I was 4 years old, and then that really strange. Even though that doesn't have anything to do with that dream, but it's funny how I am remembering things in my history. And I got out of the car coming in here to get on air tonight, and I saw her, and I said, "Hey, Elena." Anyway, that's full circle there. That's a full circle. And, you know, don't got to find your own full circle. But, you know, speak the truth, know the truth, hear the truth, do the truth, be the truth. The circle of life, the will, circle will. Because we have, what was the first thing a caveman made? They invented the wheel. You know? To get around. To me, it's a line. And the longest distance in anything is a line, and the shortest distance is a line. And my arrows, they remind me that the ones that came from the some Indian reservation that my kids and all of us found, I keep them up there on my in front of me in the fireplace because they remind me to stay in my straight and narrow line. And I have railroad ties on both sides of the fireplace. One big beam, that beam, it reminds me of the blue beam or beam, you know, beam, balance beam when I was growing up. It's a really balanced to know how to walk it straight and narrow. I look at my fireplace with the beams on both sides, which are the railroad ties, and that's my cheat to train. And, or, you know, people have Carolina Roadrunner. But that's my cheat to train in life. And I keep my tracks right on there, and I know when the tracks are going to switch. That's that energy that comes in. It's like switch. You know, I've got to know by, without thinking. It's called blind faith. But up there where I hang my stockings for the kids are both of those arrows. They're not for war. They're to keep me in the straight and narrow. Because an arrow from a bow, how are you going to shoot it and get that bullseye? What's this thing with Red Bull? Everywhere I go and see, what's this Red Bull thing? Ronnie used to say his father said he was strong at me, strong as bull. That's what I see it as. Then I had a dream one night that Taurus is a bull. I don't know much about the daggum stars, this and stuff. I don't get into all that astrology. My family told me to never mess with it, and I never did. And I call it unraveling the stars on a journal and in my books because if I unravel the stars, when I was little, those stars represented all the people, places, and things, especially the animals, you know. And if I unravel each star, then I can remember by using that as a tapestry for my life. So let's get that straight with what unraveling the stars mean. That's what that means to me. If I unravel those beautiful stars as a child that I looked up and saw, you know, even the Wizard of Oz before it started, before it was even made, through my butterfly curtains in that lavender room as a child with that French provincial white furniture. And I had to sleep with plastic on my bed and on my pillow because I was so allergic to everything. But I would unravel each star and think about it. And that's where I put my memories to remember things when I was little. And those are to make my tapestry in today's life so that I can share with my children and grandchildren. So somebody, again, posted on the TNT News thread about unraveling a star. It's like, I love the way, you know, Burl Ackerman, the guy that really beat and raped me, you know. His name is Butch. When you got Butch Cassidy and Sundance Kid, which is a good movie, then John might be my father. And it was a joke. People tend to like to try to push buttons, but they don't push my buttons. It makes me realize, no matter how much somebody tells you they love you and care for you, they're here I take that as not an enemy, but as a lesson that I'm being tested to see how my buttons will be pushed. And I'm pretty well balanced here. You know, I've gone into the hospital for my heart to be so broken 3 different times. I go and check myself in if I need to, because I want to take care of me. But for somebody to try to make it like, you know, I'm a nut job or whatever, hey, I like to be a nut job because nuts are fruit. And that's your fruit that plants the trees. That's how your tree's planted. It was the nut. And that's the meat, which feeds us. It's wholesome. Because without the trees, the nut jobs. Or you can think of that, God. I mean, it's just so funny. It's just so funny to look at all this stuff. God. I found an acorn the other day that I found when I first was told I had cancer of the thyroid, which when Michael came that time, it was his birthday last year at this time, and he said that his something was B9, where he lived or something, or whatever, I don't know. But if you think about it, that's the day that I was told I did not have cancer, and the doctor wasn't impressed because it was B9. You know, I know people can do things. I know that they practice magic. But what is magic? What is magic? What is make-believe? Go back. Is Santa Claus real? Or, you know, think of it that way. Is the tooth fairy real? Or was that magic for the child? What is magic? Pulling something out of a hat. It's tricking. It's a trick. But it can really harm people. It can really damage people. And 13 honeys in the pot or whatever. And Michael always said, give honey, you know, to people. It keeps them okay. But then there's, you know, beehives. Beehives will sting your ass hard. Just remember that movie where what was it called? Stand By Me. That little boy went back to get that mood ring for his little friend that the Blues Brothers, what's his name? Dan Aykroyd. He took care of a funeral home. And he died because of the beehive. You know, he's allergic to the bees. You know, the quilting bees. You put it all together, it's really cool. But anything that has to be hidden and placed in codes and maybe tested on a person to see if their buttons to be pushed or tricks or whatever. Sometimes I feel like I'm some kind of daggum lottery ticket. I learned last night what a black book was with God. Everybody used to think God keeps a little black book. So I thought, you know, numbers, you know, and keeping for people like to gamble. And God is, you know, that people that study, you know, that pray to the God and goddesses, that's a small g, right? So there's your small g God keeping the little black book. All these little things just start popping in my head. And you know what? It isn't necessary to write them down. I speak them out loud. And I'm sure everybody here hears it. Because I know. You know, I know, you know, I know, you know. Everybody knows you got on these shoes. But I'm grateful for each person in my life. I'm grateful for every single one of you guys out there. I am so grateful and humbled. Because I'm grateful that things, like I said a long time ago, things will turn around and correct themselves. just like with Adam and Eve eating the fruit and being tricked by the serpent, which is a practice, which you have the staff, the rod and staff that God has it come, but the serpent goes up the staff. Why? Because it's a practice of magic. What? Medicine is a practice. Science is a practice. It's a practice. But we got some people out there that could be like the absent-minded professor, or they could be like, you know, blow up the chemistry or the experiment, because I believe everything has a competition in the world. And people that want to take away the negative and have pure light, you can't do that in life. You just can't. You have a blank sheet of paper, white. You know, and the world is mediumship, you know, creation. I write that. Look, send one of my journals up there. I say, look, medium is an art. It's the temp. It's in the middle. It's what the media makers, you know. Like people who have a pity party who wasn't invited. I'm not going to read all this, but your medium is what you create. And God created this world in all these colors and all these things. It's an art. He finger painted his colors on the heavenly ones. You know, you think of earth as the heavenly and our sky. But then you got a lot to look at with medium. Medium can be your tools. It's your tools that you use. There's a picture I found the other day when I took my first class of, or was it my second, Mr. Gay. It was advanced. And we go in the dark room, we take our film, we put it in the little thing, and it was filed, and then you shut the top, take the little top off, you put the developer in there, then you pour that out, and you put lukewarm water in there to set it. But what we did was we put ice water in there and then shook it up a minute and then poured it out. And then we put the tempered type of water in there to settle it. And it came out with all these little squigglies. It's really cool because the negative strip cracked the film. And if you took, it reminds me of what I see when I see the energy. Not on a pavement, you know, that rises. That's that first time I saw that energy was I related seeing energy to the steam that comes up off the pavement when, you know, and you can look through it to see something. But if everybody wants to take the negative, which is our teachers and shadows, you take your shadow away from yourself. That, you know, you think of Jack and his shadow that Tinkerbell brought on his shadow because he forgot who he was. Remember that story? Jack and Tinkerbell. Oh, well. Do you think of this all me and my shadow dancing along the way? Most people want their shadow at their back. If the shadow is at their back all the time, how would they ever learn? You've got your plug that, you know, for your energy to turn a light on. You've got the positive and negative. You got your yin and yang. You got your this and that. You got your right and left. How can? It's just like Democrat and Republic. It's got to lean on each other. Black is just as good as the white. I mean, even though black isn't a color and there's no real black in the world, that is your depth of field. That is the depth of a picture or anything that you create. Because the black is the depth of how deep it goes. Like people say, how deep is that rabbit hole? You want to take that black out and have just white. And become just one. You can't become just white. That would be a white blank sheet of paper. But the world would be a white canvas and never have anything on it. So think of that, because you do black and white film. It's the first thing that came out, black and white. You know, that's hard, because of one of the things I learned in art class, it was the most difficult piece I ever did, but we used a black scratch board. We used an X-Acto knife, and we had to cut out all of we had to scratch out the positive and leaving the negative. And then we did one with leaving the negative, you know, scratching out the negative and leaving the positive. I was failing that class, so I dropped out of it real quick. But I did go back and learn more about it. You know, we all, you know, on this world want better. We want to get better. We want to do better. We want to feel better. We want to think better. We want something to look at. People need materialized situations. But one of my wonderful mentor teachers, David Icke, you know, remember who you are. Remember, and I say remember when, with Abby Dahmer, I was giving her an intuitive, and she got the Pentex after I got the Pentex K1000. And I put it out one day, and I said, Abby, remember who you are. Remember who you are. But you remember when. We remember who we are because we're here. You know, what we are here for. What is our purpose and our calling? But remember when. That's your history. That's your timeline. That's what we need to remember. Because that was our lessons. That's what we learned from. Because that's what molded us and shaped us. I don't believe in reincarnation until when the rapture comes and we go, you know, the people that have gone asleep in God come back and help this world after 4 years of darkness and devastation and where, you know, science project blew up or whatever. You know, these people left on earth that don't know the way and want, you know, they don't have an understanding of a savior or whatever. They're going to be left here on this earth for 4 years of hell and beg to die with the radiation, cancer, the water's nasty and everything. And then God comes down after 3 years. We've got our new name that we don't ourselves know from the indigo, like an indigo light. The crystal children, what is that? To me, crystal formation. What is the phone lines made out of? But crystals that are grown. Your fiber optics. And what is the strongest, hardest part in the core of the center of the earth is 28%, but the core center of the earth is made out of silicone. Silicone crystallizes and becomes the hardest thing on earth. I had mastectomy, so I got it right there. That damn hard stuff. Anyway, that's the crystal form. That's the crystal children is the core, you know, the hardest surface. They're the formation that has been made and manifested. So we got the indigo and the crystal children. But they're here, they'll give the people that are left on this earth that have almost died from the destruction, like this big, huge mushroom that's just going, boom. And people are promised that follow the right way, the narrow way, the red line, whatever you want to call it, the fine line that we have to walk. From my understanding, it's not too many going to make it over that bridge, that wisdom bridge, but hey, each to his own. I'm giving you the information. It's in Revelations if you want to read it. A lot of prophets saying it before even the Bible. You know, it's just known. And then 3 years later, we got, you know, the new people come back with a new name. They don't really remember that's the first reincarnation. And then after 7 years, people that were left here have a chance or a choice. And that's the new heaven on earth. Now, we look back at reincarnation. What people, to me, I believe, if you look in a mirror and you skew, you know, that skewing, you stare into a mirror and you see they people think that's their past lives. No, that's not what it resonates to me. To me, looking in a mirror, I'm looking inside myself, which is people, places, and things that have been in my life. What is in me, right? Not of me, but in me. Those are the things that I have touched and been around throughout my lifetime. And I'm telling you, be very careful. You put a little candle down in a dark room or whatever, just to have a little light. Stare through that mirror and you'll see all kinds of things. You can even see your face morphing and everything. But that is people. And to me, people that have passed on, they go to sleep. But their spirit of how they touched a person is what lives on. I'll give you an example. Me, if I pass on and die, how did a person treat me in their life and how did they resonate to how I touched their life? If they had undermining secrets or undermining tricks or whatever, that's what they're going to get the rest of their life. But if they learn and see me as love and caring and I touched them that way, then that's what they'll get with the spirit. But I'm going to tell you, even with committing suicide, God said, thou shalt not murder, thou shalt not kill. If a person takes their own life, that is the last sin. How can they get forgiven? Every night, and a lot of times during the day, I forgive myself. I go to others in prayer and ask forgiveness, and I forgive them as well. And then God can blot it out white as snow, like a little white dot. a white snowflake. Right? So, you know, keep your vessels clean as we need. I wonder what's going on with the present election. Man. You know what? I'm going to say, I did not vote, even though I went about 6:30 tonight to go vote. But in my gut, I was told not to vote. You know why? I love everybody and everything, but I don't have enough knowledge, though I love President Obama and his ways. And I'm sure Governor Romney is a great man, too. The way he looks out and about at the people, because anybody that makes contact looking out, that's a pretty interesting person that's sincere. President Obama is too. He cares for us. He's brought us a long way. But if it were me, the way the skank's going on in this world with the Yahoo groups, you know, I was listening to Drake the other day, and I could just feel all these people I know in there. You know, I just felt them, like Paula, Angel, Sharon, Ocean Annie, all these people I felt in there. I can't help it. That's just who I am, you know. It's just who I am. And I just want to say, everybody must have a lot of respect for me and really have a lot of knowings. Most person, people, anybody knows who I am and knows that I know what I know. I went to Debbie Cooper Pooper Scooper's house one day, right after I had inhaled Tylex poisoning. I had covered my face and my eyes, but I sprayed the bathroom and had the window open. But the Tylex, I inhaled it, brought the lining of my lungs. And I had this huge purple mark on my arm. That's when I made that tape, Only Debbie Knows, and I did it was 1992 with the routing out my brain and learned how to meditate. And I called this people call it the crown chakra, but I call it the baby soft spot. Because that's open until about 3 or 4 years of age, and then it shuts. Okay, and then Debbie took pictures of me and everything because my eyes rolled up in my head. I started talking to Native American. And then when I met Mike Horner's group, it showed pictures of the shamanism. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. But that's when she thought I was really strange. I don't care because I kept my walk. I don't mind what people think of me. It's none of my business, Terry Lynn Whitaker says. But, you know, just keep yourself straight and narrow. Because once you die, once you go over on that other side, those people that you want to have those feelings of good stuff and look, you know, and be a part of that group, are they going to be there when you go on that other side? Or are they going to be there when you die? No, you die and you alone die. But you know what? Birth is just as hard as death. Unless you have got your vessel clean, then it's not. And we're at the end of the hour. I want to close this hour with thankfulness and gratitude. Because if I light my candle, that one light, see that blue? The ultraviolet flame. And that is the hottest color of the flame. That's your indigo. Through Jesus Christ, Holy Spirit, that was He was the only one that reincarnated. He didn't really reincarnate, but He gave us the gift of the Holy Spirit that's a comforter. And the fire of the Holy Spirit is hot. And when I get on my little trails and start just bitching, y'all think I'm bitching and screaming, go to church. Why does the preacher just sit there and talk real sweet and calm? No, he bites it out there. And he's and I think of myself as a preacher sometimes. So when y'all hear me in my room, in my house, when y'all got the conference turned on and I'm just listening, if you want to ask me something, address me with my name. Not Cat. He called me CC, you know. Then again, there's that third eye thing. David and Goliath, the big giant, the Colossus, whatever he's called. He had one eye right there in his forehead. And David took one shot at the slingshot, hit that third eye, and killed that daggum giant. Get that daggum stuff out of the way. Because right here, remember when Michael was here? And I told him what I saw, that there was a chakra that's always been there, but it would be new, and it's like an eye. And it's right in the chest, right above the heart. And boy, have I been feeling that, because that is where I feel the compassion, passion, or understanding. That's my discernment area. If it comes and I feel that right there, then I know it's uncomfortable. And if it's uncomfortable, it isn't the right way or the right thing. You know, maybe a person speaking out or whatever. But if it's that feeling right there. So don't go faking that feeling on me. Because it just ain't going to work. You know what? I believe in everybody and everything. But I do believe that anybody that has to use the United States of America to gain control of, you know, to get the money situation or whatever, you know, and go in there and get something, you know, and then use their magic to cause anything to happen to be destructive. That is wrong. It's just daggum wrong. I don't care what you say. Oh, I gotta say one thing. At the end of Rain Tree, my brother David gave me this picture. I stare at all the time. It's a bird, and I call it the rain bird. And around it, it's pieces of the leopard, you know, the leopard material. And at the end of my street, there's all these wires. I don't know what it means, but it's called the rain bird. So I don't know. That's pretty cool. Birds of a feather, birds of a feather flock together. Know your flock. I think of myself as Jonathan Livingston Seagull all the time. I love that, Mr. Brock. Jonathan Livingston Seagull. Think of me. I did not do with the flock, so I got kicked out. But Jonathan Livingston Seagull mastered what he needed. And everybody came to him in secret. And then at the end, when the old government of the seagulls, you know, the master died, and everybody was okay with Jonathan Livingston Seagull. I don't have an icon, and I don't have an emblem or even anything that relates to me. I don't belong to anything because it doesn't matter. I love everybody. Okay? Pray for each one of you, to each other. And remember, it doesn't matter whether you're accepted or not, because the isolation of serenity is accepted by few. Okay? The isolation of serenity is not fake. That's when you are content with who you are and you have surrendered to yourself and you know who you are. So that isolation of serenity is non-fake. All are accepted. And it is accepted by many but few to be in the isolation of serenity. You look around, see, look and hear and do. All are fake but few. Ask yourself, are you? This is Kathy Cook, Bright Lights Pathfinders, and my host, bbsradio.com, Doug and Don Newsom, Seth, and all the most beautiful rainbows. Because the rainbow is the color to the world. That's a seven. God gave us the rainbow, the covenant, and never to do that to the world again. Right? God gave us the rainbow. So the rainbow represents every color of people. Red and yellow, black and white. Everybody's precious. And y'all are precious to me. I love you. God bless and world peace.